the Word of God at Hebrews 13. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby shall have some entertain angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, for whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried away with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he comes shortly, I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints. They of Italy salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen. As I said, it's the eighth verse that we consider this evening. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, when we come together for worship on Old Year's Day, and really for that matter on New Year's Day as well, one of the things that we are led to reflect upon is the whole matter of time. On this, the last day of the year, we look back on the time that was in 2012. And when we gather together tomorrow, we look forward to the time that is coming in 2013. Old Year's Day and New Year's Day is all about time past and present and future. That's why this text that we have before us in Hebrews chapter 13 is a good text to consider on the last day of the year, because it's a text that says something about those three realities. It says something about the past, yesterday. It says something about the present, today. And it says something about the future, forever. And what it says about the past, present, and future is that through all of those, the Lord Jesus Christ is the same. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The point of the text is that although everything in our lives change, they have changed in this past year, and they will change in this coming year, this we can know will never change. Jesus Christ and His love and in His power to save you and me. It's a fitting word to think about at the end of the year, and it's a word that leads us to give thanks to God and to rejoice in God and in Christ for who He is as our Savior. This text is found in the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews. It's found in the middle of a relatively well-known section of this chapter. In the middle section of Hebrews 13, the writer of this book talks about the leaders in the church from verse 7 and then concludes in verse 17. It may be the case even that in some of our churches, with the installation of office bearers, some of these passages may be preached on, especially that 17th verse that we know very well. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. Towards the beginning of that middle section in this chapter, we have this text that we are considering tonight. And when you first read it, you can wonder, how does this fit in with the context and fit in with what we have right before it in verse 7? There is a relationship between verse 7 and the text in verse 8. In verse 7, we as the church are exhorted to do three things with respect to the leaders or the elders in the church. We as members of the church are in the first place to remember them. In the second place, we are to imitate them. And in the third place, we are to consider the end of their conversation, the end of their life. That is, the glory that they receive having lived a faithful life on this earth. And then comes the words of this text. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's a couple of relationships between these two verses. One of them, broadly speaking, is this. Although the leaders of the church may change, as they do, they come and they go. God uses over time different human instruments to care for and guide His church. This will never change. Christ will always be there. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's always in the church, caring for, defending, and saving the church. But there's an even more specific relationship that's related to the very end of verse 7. It talks about the end of their conversation. That is, the goal that these men receive at the very end of their lives. That is, the glory, the salvation that they have. They have that. And we have that with them. Exactly because this is true of Jesus Christ. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His love and His power, as we will see, in saving us, is always there. And He's always exercising that, leading us to glory. As I said earlier, this is a good word to consider at the end of the year, because we can look back on the year and we can know that the same Christ, or the Christ that loved us at the beginning of 2012, is the same Christ who continues to love us at the end of this year. He has been faithful to us because this is true of Him. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's meditate upon this for a few minutes this evening and do so under the theme, the unchanging Christ. The unchanging Christ. We can't deny the fact that as men and women on this earth, what we experience day in and day out is change. There's no escaping that reality. There's no denying it. There's no stopping it. Our lives are always changing. Now, it's not stated explicitly in the text, but that certainly is the implication. In the sharpest contrast to Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, stands us, creatures of this earth who, unlike Christ, are always changing. Let's think about that for a few minutes this evening and look back on the year that was 2012. We can look back and see that that certainly is the truth. On a very big level, a national, global level, things are always changing. This past year, 2012, was an election year. And what did we hear over and over and over again from the candidates? Change, change, change. Now, it's true that our current president was reelected, but it came with the promise of change. I'm going to work, he says, to change the economy and to change the job situation, to change the war in Iraq. It always comes with the promise of change. And unfortunately, in our minds, the change is not always for the better, but for the worse. But on a grand scale, a global, a national scale, we always see change. But we don't need to look on that type of a scale to see that. All we have to do is look at our own lives. You children here, 365 days ago on January 1 of 2012, were probably shorter than you are right now. You probably physically changed. You grew in this past year. Not only physically, but emotionally too, becoming more mature and hopefully spiritually as well. You grew in your understanding of the Bible and the things of God. Our families changed. For some of us, God gave additions to our families. Children were born to many families. Look at that handout that we had tonight, all of the list of the children that were added to our family. Some of us lost family members. Loved ones were taken to glory. Jobs may have changed. Health may have changed. Change, change, change. Things are always changing. That's really what history is. If you study history, history is simply the study of that which has taken place already. It's the study of change. Everything is always changing. That was 2012. And we can say the exact same thing with respect to what we anticipate in 2013. We can't predict 2013, but I can say to you as sure as I know that I'm standing in front of you tonight, that change will take place. We don't know what it will be, but things will change. We can't deny that that's the truth. But what does that mean? That's the way it is, but what can we learn from that? What can we take away from the fact that in our lives things are always changing? At least a few things. In the first place, understand that change has a very big part to do with sin. Change in part is due to the operation of sin in this world, the fact that we are falling, living in a fallen creation. Now, not all change is due to that, but a lot of it is. If you think about this on a national level, you look back on the history of this world, and you see that kingdoms have risen and kingdoms have fallen. Never for too long of a time is one kingdom having the rule in this world. It went from the Babylonians to the Persians to the Greeks to the Romans to Europe to the United States. And we see that always changing. Now why? Partly because of sin. The lust for power. The desire to do anything to gain that power and have the eminence in this world, so that you go around killing and destroying in order that my country might be the ruling country. It demonstrates the fact that change is often due to sin. And that's true in our lives too. Relationships change, not always for the better, but sometimes for the worse, exactly because we are fallen creatures living with one another on this earth. Change is oftentimes associated with sin. In the second place, Change is also associated with weakness. Change is an evidence at times of weakness. You can understand why that's the case, because if things are changing, they're either changing for the better or they're changing for the worse. And both of those demonstrate the point. For the worse, obviously, weaker. But for the better, that indicates that something is not as good as it could be. Change is always associated with weakness. And that's in a testament to the fact that we are sinful, frail creatures here on this earth. Our bodies, for example. We can know that. We're not getting stronger day by day. Yeah, we might for a time if we're on a health binge and we're trying to get healthier and get stronger. But big picture, what's taking place over the passing of time? We're weakening as time goes on. And also fear. There's a certain fear that goes along with change. Things change in our lives and you wonder, what's going to happen because of that? You can probably look back on 2012 and in several different situations in your lives, things change and you look into the future and you do that with a certain fear. Where are we going to be? What's going to happen as a result of what just took place? There's no doubting the fact that that's wrapped up in who we are as creatures. Change. Now, in the sharpest contrast to that, we hear this word in Hebrews 13, verse 8, that tells us Jesus Christ, unlike us, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as we will see, that's a wonderful word to hear. It's a word of comfort that gets really at the heart of what we need to hear all throughout our lives, namely that our salvation by Jesus Christ is secure. Think about if we could take everything we just said about us and apply that to Christ. What if that was the case for Jesus Christ, our Savior? What if His love changed? Okay, He set His love for upon us at the beginning of 2012, but because He's a changing Christ, who knows about that love at the end of 2012? Or what about His strength, His power as Christ? It's there, but if that changes, that implies that He's not all-powerful. And it may be the case that there's someone out there, the devil, that can surpass Him in power. And then what happens to our salvation? We are consumed by our enemies. If this was true of Jesus Christ, everything we said that is true about us, we would go forth in this life with fear and with anxiety. We could have no confidence and assurance of anything. But we have that confidence and assurance because Christ is not like us. He's the very Son of God Himself. And therefore, this is true of Him. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What does that mean? There's several different ways to take this text and break it down and explain it. What we're going to do first is see what Jesus Christ does in those time periods. What He did yesterday, what He did in the past, what He does today, and then what He does in the future. And relate that to the fact that He is the unchanging Christ. Yesterday, past, what has Jesus Christ done for us in the past? That's not the question that you hear often today. The question among men today, always, and it's always spoken kind of negatively, kind of jokingly, it's always, what have you done for me today? We're so short-sighted. We forget so very quickly. The question is, what do you do for me today? That's all I care about. That's not right with Christ. That's not what we say with Jesus Christ. This is a good question to ask. What did He do for us in the past? As we look back, what did Christ do for us? When we look back, Our eyes must go especially to one place, and that is Calvary. When we look back and we reflect upon the past and Jesus Christ and His work, we direct our eyes to His suffering and to His death. That's the great work that Jesus Christ has done for us in the past. His great work of coming into this world with our sins upon Him, suffering all of His life long and dying on that cross. When we look at what He does in these three time periods, past, present, and future, we can pull from the book of Hebrews. For this one, we can read Hebrews 2, 9 and 10. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became Him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. What did Jesus do for us yesterday in the past? He suffered for us. And He died for us. What about today? What is Christ doing for us right now as we sit here this evening in the sanctuary worshiping God? We can answer that by saying right now Jesus Christ is in heaven at God's right hand and He is interceding on our behalf. Turn to Hebrews 9, verse 24. Hebrews 9, verse 24 says, "For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." Right now, as we sit here tonight, that's what Jesus is doing. He's at God's right hand, interceding on our behalf. Based on what He did for us in the past, He's taking His blood, His suffering, and presenting it to God the Father for all of the sins that we are continually committing here on this earth. So that continually God looks down upon us through Jesus Christ and His shed blood. That's what He's doing right now. What will He do forever as the Christ? In Hebrews chapter 7, I think I found 5 or 6 references in the book itself, maybe even more. We read that forever, Jesus Christ is the priest after the order of Melchizedek. 7:21, for example, at the very end, "Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Forever points us to the future. Now, the fact that He's the priest isn't much different from what we said about the present thing that He does. He intercedes on our behalf. But the fact that He's the priest after the order of Melchizedek adds something. The Old Testament man Melchizedek was a great type of Christ because Melchizedek was the one man in the Old Testament that had combined the priesthood and the kingship. He was in Salem, the priest king. And that pointed to Jesus Christ, who is not only priest, but king. And so when we read forever after the order of Melchizedek, what we are reading is that Jesus Christ into all eternity sits at God's right hand as king. We can know sitting here today that Jesus Christ will never be dethroned, but He will rule forever and ever. That's what He does in the past, present, and future. Just a few things from the book of Hebrews. But the main point is not only that, but the main point is that He is the same in the past, in the present, and in the future. And He's the same in connection with those three things that we just talked about. In what way is Jesus Christ the same? He's the same in the first place in His love. The love of Jesus Christ never changes. And everything we talked about with respect to what He does, standing behind that is the love of Jesus Christ. It was love that brought Jesus Christ to this earth and suffered and died on that cross. It is love that makes Him our intercessor in heaven, interceding on our behalf continually. And it's love that governs the rule over us in everything that He does as King. And that love never changes. It never wanes, it never wavers, but is the same in the past, present, and future. And in the second place, He is the same in His power. This is the Christ. He's the King. And that power never goes away because He is the very Son of God. It was power that led Him to defeat all of our enemies in His suffering and death. It's power that allows Him to be at God's right hand interceding on our behalf. And it's power that allows Him to rule over absolutely everything. And that power never changes. People of God, we can look back on 2012 and say that all of those things that we just talked about are just as true today as they were on January 1 of this past year. In contrast to us, who are always changing, always walking in the ways of sin, always making ourselves unworthy of this love and power of Jesus upon us, always wondering about what change will come in the future, this we can know about our Savior. And it's this truth concerning Christ that leads us at the end of the year to have thanks in our hearts. And to end the year on the mountaintops of faith, we can do that because we know that this is our Savior. And the love that He shines upon us at the beginning of the year is the same love that He shines upon us at the end of the year. And the power that He exercises over all of the nations of the world and over all of the details in our lives on our behalf is the same power that He exercises right now. What a truth that we have in this text. A truth that gives us comfort in our hearts. A truth that allows us to know that our salvation is secure. And that forever we can know that God is our God and Jesus Christ is our Savior. May that lead us as we end the year 2012 to do so with thanks in our hearts and rejoicing in our souls. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we thank Thee for this truth concerning Jesus, that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Although we change, although we are always wondering about what will take place, we can know that His love and His power never changes, and give us comfort and assurance from that as we end this year. We pray, Father, that Thou wilt forgive what was said or heard in sin. For Jesus' sake do we pray. Amen.